strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford.
A touchdown for David Johnson, my goodness!
Pressure from the Badger, and Badger don't care!
Pitch to fifth, running straight ahead, into the end zone, the shovel pass for the touchdown and the win!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From University of Phoenix Stadium.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
Red Sea, you got to be feeling it right now.
Unleash the fury!
And Cards Camp 2017 has come down to needs and wants, Wolf. We're at that point, 4 weeks into camp. Yes, other teams have already broken camp. Teams have started camp before you. You want to break camp something fierce, there's no doubt about it. But as Carson Palmer said this week, okay, you still have three preseason games to go. You know you need the work. You want to break camp?
Yes.
You know you need the work. I know I need the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. That's how I tell time during the week, Wolf. When it's time for the Big Red Rage.
Really?
Otherwise, you know, one day is like the next, and it all sort of bleeds together, and then one drill becomes the next. I need to talk about some Arizona Cardinals training camp 2017, and we've got quite the show straight ahead, including Buda Baker on tap a little bit later.
Well, it's going to be so cool to actually talk to Buda Baker, right? I mean, here's a guy that is an understudy, if you will, of Tyrann Mathieu, and he's been compared to him an awful lot, and he certainly has looked impressive in two preseason games.
Yeah, and even Tyrann said recently, hey, stop comparing him to me. About a year from now, you'll be carrying other people to Buda Baker himself. So those are pretty high words of praise from Tyrann Mathieu, who has looked excellent again this week. There's no doubt about it. He's been making plays and telling everyone about it. So here we are as the Cardinals. And look, this is a marathon camp. I was interviewing David Johnson. Here's a little anecdote from the locker room. Okay. And I said, so David, is one of the biggest challenges here, Cards Camp 2017, just the sheer length of camp? And three lockers over, Carson yelled out, yes, yes, it is. I mean, if you're a veteran, a Wolf, you went through 10 of these.
Yeah.
It is a mental grind, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no doubt, Paulie. It is. And even though the accommodations today are not what they once were, let's put it that way, and they're much better. That's
right.
What I'm trying to say. Yeah. But even though it still is a lot cozier, let's put it that way, it's training camp. And people are still fighting for jobs out here. It's still football, and it's still a physical game. So, yeah, it's a grind. There's no doubt about it. It's just not as much of a grind.
And you can sense the urgency. There's no doubt about it. I mean, unless you're a starter, unless you're one of the top 30 players on this team, you can see it in guys' faces. You can certainly see it in the rookies. You can see it in those guys who are on the fringe. I mean, Wolf, you've been there and done that.
Yeah.
You know, camp starts winding down, and you realize your livelihood is on the line.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, if that is the case, if you're one of those bubble guys, you're really happy that you've got five preseason games.
Yeah.
You're really happy that cut down no longer has to be made before the final cut. You can actually carry 90 players on your roster and cut them all on one day, 37 down to your 53, right? You're happy that you've got all these games to actually go out there and flash, because practice is good, and practice is one thing. But, Paulie, you've got to do it when the silks are on in the preseason games. That's what will catch coaches' eyes. You have to do it then, and you know, just that, and the fact that you've got preseason and you're rolling along, the stress is there. Guys are fighting for jobs.
Hey, don't think it can't be done either. Look at Josh Bynes. He came in off the street.
Yeah.
He had an unbelievable game against the Raiders. I mean, we called his name about a dozen times. He has put himself squarely in the mix, even though he's dealing with a hamstring now, for a spot on the roster. That's all it takes, is to show it in a game, put it on film. Look at 2012, a guy by the name of Tony Jefferson had an unbelievable game, number three of the preseason, made that Cardinals squad, and the rest is history.
You got to flash, and then you got to back it up in practice.
If there is one concern right now, would it be receiver? We're going to talk about that because BA has spent all week talking about the receiver position or the lack thereof, what he's had to say, all that and more. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. Third and goal from the 12. Palmer draws back, looks into the end zone, fires, and it is caught by Britton Golden. He takes a shot, but Britton Golden with a touchdown to cap the drive as the Cardinals get it done.
Britton Golden just a 10-yard square in and was able to get behind the defender, and Carson Palmer diagnosed that immediately, was able to zip that ball in, and a big-time reception for Britton Golden. That's something that he needs, a big confidence booster, not only for himself, but for this receiving corps.
How about Britton Golden? He had three grabs for 44 yards, a long of 26 in that touchdown. And with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo donates money to local public schools through the Passing Touchdown for Schools program. Wells Fargo together will go far. Together here on the Big Red Rage, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and, you know, Britton Golden has just made plays since day one of camp. A lot of times it's on special teams. But, Wolf, I mean, true or false, if Britton Golden was on, say, oh, I don't know, the San Francisco 49ers, he'd be their number three receiver.
Yeah, you know, Paulie, I still think the wide receiver room is very deep for the Arizona Cardinals, to your point. I think Britton Golden will make this team. He's a guy that can run. He's an excellent teams player, as you said. But what he did against the Raiders, I think, really was significant because he's got to prove that he can be a wide receiver. He can run wide receiver routes and be dependable and be sharp in running those routes and then catch the ball when thrown to.
All right. He's the exception, though, at least based on BA's assessment of the receiver room after the Raider game, after what he's seen in practice here recently. In fact, here's what he's had to say to start the week. The BNBA, well, it was set to blast.
Not very pleased with our wide receiver room. Must have been seeing things back in the spring when I said we had 12 guys that could play in the NFL. I think we might have two. But we'll look around, see who's available.
And he named names. He said everyone not named Larry Fitzgerald or Jerron Brown, who he then added is probably the number two receiver in the rotation right now.
Yeah, you know, it's a problem. If, in fact, Bruce Arians is concerned about it, that concerns me a little bit. And the fact that John Brown obviously was not mentioned speaks more to his availability or lack thereof. That is problematic. When you start talking about John Brown and the impact that he has on the entire offense, that's a real area of concern for Bruce Arians and his staff.
Well, he's been dealing with that nagging quad injury. It's been lingering, as John explained to the media, and I was standing right there. You know, it's exacerbated by the fact that he has a sickle cell trait. He just doesn't recover that quickly. I mean, he didn't look that optimistic.
Yeah, see, that is the problem right there, just the fact that he cited the sickle cell trait and the fact that, here he's got a quad and he's trying to get recovered off of that quad, and yet it's not healing as quick or as fast as it normally would with somebody that obviously doesn't have the sickle cell trait. So that's an area of concern, you know, the availability of John Brown once again, because – Paulie, I can't tell you how he impacts the offense, man. I mean, me to break it down for you.
I mean, let me ask you this. Could John Brown be as important to the offense as Tyrann Mathieu being the Badger is to the defense?
No doubt. Again, that coming into this season, it was John Brown. You tell me John Brown was going to be John Brown, and I'll tell you the offense is going to be okay. You tell me that Tyrann Mathieu was going to be the Honey Badger, and I'll tell you the defense is going to be okay. Look, John Brown, first of all, he opens up so much space underneath, especially for the Japanese fighting fish, Larry
sure.
Fitzgerald, running the short and intermediate routes. He opens up room for Larry Fitzgerald to do that because DBs, including the corner lined up over John Brown, will step back when John Brown is healthy and ready to go. Safeties will take one step back. Now, all of a sudden, the windows become just a little bit bigger for Carson Palmer to throw the ball, right? David Johnson, it's harder to double David Johnson, in particular down in the red zone, right? When he comes out of the backfield and he lines up in the slot or he's split out wide, it's harder to bracket David Johnson and double him when you know you've got John Brown out on the field as well. And then Larry Fitzgerald, you throw that in there. If you're a defensive coordinator in rundown situation, Paul, first and 10, right? Now all of a sudden, are you really going to jam up the box and single up John Brown on the outside with the safety in the middle of the field? Are you going to do that? Are you going to put eight in the box? Not as likely to jam it up if John Brown is healthy and ready to go. So he impacts an entire defense, not only on the strategic level, but on the tactical level as well.
You know, for John Brown, it's physical. For a lot of the other younger receivers, it's mental. This is a very demanding offense on receivers. You talk to the young guys about it. I mean, how many adjustments they have to make on the fly. They have to read the defense almost like a quarterback has to read the defense, adjust accordingly. And, I mean, if you track it, if you had zoom out on the tenure of Bruce Arians and the Arizona Cardinals when the offense kind of went sideways to start 2013,
yes,
it was on the receivers, as we learned later.
Yes.
When you look back at 2016 in the first half of the year, it was on the receivers. I mean, it is absolutely critical to this offense. Nobody knows it better than Carson Palmer, and he was asked about it.
I'm excited about the group I've been able to work with. I think Larry's had a really strong camp. John Brown's had a really good camp. John Brown had a really good start. He's been hampered by that injury. Britt's been making plays like you saw last week. I think it's kind of the backup roles that he's really been looking for somebody to step up in. And as you know, they've been challenged, and I think that group will step up and start making plays.
All right, so the talent is there. It just Bruce Arians has to see it. He has to see the execution.
Yeah, first of all, I think Bruce Arians is challenging the wide receiver room because he's a little concerned about John Brown and his availability.
Who's going to step up?
That means somebody has got to step up. Every time somebody's got to step up, what do you see B.A. do? You see him go old school coach and start attacking, right? This is what he does. He starts challenging people, and that's what he did. He's challenging the wide receiver room. Somebody has got to step up and fill the productivity that John Brown has brought to this offense in the past. It's difficult to go outside the organization, Paul, and find a good wide receiver who's fast, who can do what John Brown does to defenses. It's hard to go outside the organization because those guys aren't walking around the street unless they've done something that put them on the street. And it's hard to trade for these guys as well.
There's ability, and then, of course, there's always availability. There was some cause and effect after BA put the receivers on blast on Monday. It was interesting to see on Tuesday, Aaron Dobson was back in practice. Chad Williams is back in practice. John Brown himself was back in practice, even though he's not 100%. So maybe that was irritating Bruce Arians as well. Or maybe best case scenario is what Tyrann Mathieu said, half jokingly. He said, well, look, we're not a bunch of scrubs in the secondary. We've been giving the receivers a hard time. That was Tyrann Mathieu's answer, that we've been playing some good coverage and having our way with the receivers at times. So, in fact, we're going to hear from Tyrann Mathieu when we come back, because there's no doubt he has been making plays, and there's no doubt the impact he would have on this Cardinals defense, the Cardinals season in 2017, if indeed he is the Badger once again. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. Shotgun snap to Flacco. Pressure from the Badger. And Badger don't care. Tyrann Mathieu takes down Flacco for a sack. Back at the 24-yard line, forcing a Raven punt.
Oh, the Badger lining up to the left of Joe Flacco. Fires the gun. Was not picked up. James Betcher downed it up. And the Badger bagged Flacco.
And let that highlight wash over you. If only Tyrann Mathieu can regain that form where he's making plays from all over the defense, literally all over the defense as the X factor, then look out. The Cardinals, man, you got to be bullish on the chances of that AZD coming into 2017. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, and the question to Ron Wolfley. What have you seen? Can we call Tyrann Mathieu the Badger yet?
Yes, Paulie, I believe that you can. You know, just watching him play, the instincts that he's showing once again, to me it was always going to be about that, right? That and taking the knee brace off. And he's had the brace off for a long time now, but just his instincts, watching him, he's made so many plays here at University of Phoenix Stadium in practice. He's made plays in preseason games that he's played in as well. So, look, the Badger, I'm willing to say, is going to be the Badger, and that is a big deal. Now, can he remain available throughout the entire season? That is a question mark.
Well, and with that in mind, they do still have him at free safety.
Yes.
At times. And it was interesting because he opened up to the media this week and he said, you know, my 2016 wasn't just about recovering from the injury. I had to buy into the position. I didn't like it at first. I didn't like free safety. I found it boring. I was too far removed from the action. But it is in his best interests long term.
No doubt about it, you know, and his instincts will serve him well when he's in the middle of the field playing that high free safety, right? So to me, look, Tyrann Mathieu is so important because of the tangibles that he brings to a defense, but it's also the intangibles, Paulie. We all witnessed this. 2 years ago, we witnessed this, just watching Tyrann Mathieu be the Badger out there and the way his teammates would respond to him, the intensity that he brings, the leadership that he brings. Tyrann Mathieu is a guy, you watch him play, he's the smallest guy in the field any given Sunday, and yet all he does is make plays all over the field. And you know what? You, Mr. Gifted Athlete, with all your skill and all your talent, what's your excuse? Because this kid is out there. He's not the biggest. He's not the fastest. All he does is make plays. He challenges you as a man. His mere presence on the sideline because of what he does in between the white lines. Leadership. And he's willing to walk up on somebody else and ask him, what are you doing?
It's what coach has said his very first training camp as a rookie. He may have run a 4.5 something at the combine, but he plays like he runs a 4.3.
No doubt.
And if he's one of those X factors on a defense that could feature a variety of X factors, including Hassan Reddick, Buda Baker, who will join us momentarily. I mean, think about all the variables that a QB would have to look at when he comes to the line of scrimmage. Once upon a time, it was Adrian Wilson. Where's number 24? Right?
Absolutely, the gas man.
Right? And quarterbacks, you say, where's Adrian Wilson? Okay, now I can go ahead and set my call. But if you have Tyrann Mathieu and Buda Baker and Hassan Reddick and Chandler Jones is moving around, you know, and Unleash the Deech, Robert Kimdichie is in there. I mean, think about all that. And then you think about that's exactly the way the Cardinals want to play. That's his James Betcher's MO. That's the DNA of this defense. In fact, Tyrann Mathieu was asked about that, just positional flexibility and versatility, and that's secondary.
You know, the past couple of years, we've been very versatile. We've been pretty good, especially on the back end. I think this year, you know, obviously we got more speed. You know, we got some veterans back there as well. I know a lot of people talk about chemistry, but when you add veterans who've played in this league, who know defenses, creating chemistry with those guys aren't as hard. So I think we're adjusting pretty well. We'll be better than most people expect.
It's got to be exciting to be able to throw so many different things out there, right?
Yeah, it's fun, especially for me because I get bored really easily.
Our Jim Mahunder there with Tyrann Mathieu, and he's referring to Antoine Bethea, who
yes.
James Betcher said this week, say, you know what, he's not getting enough attention in this camp is one of the big additions to the defense.
Totally agree with that, Paulie. And again, that really impacts James Betcher and how James Betcher is going to call a game. When your back end is buttoned up, I've talked about this many times in the past, but when you have confidence that the back end knows what it is that they're doing and they're not going to let receivers just run wide open down the field, you're not going to have a bunch of MEs or mental errors. It allows you to become more confident and more creative with your front seven and what it is you're going to do with them. It's one of the reasons why I think it's so important that Tyvon Branch and Antoine Bethea, guys like this, guys that have been around for a long time, they're in the back end. Different personnel groups, right? But they're in the back end with the Badger. You've got Buda Baker as well, and we're going to talk to Buda Baker here momentarily, but Buda Baker as well as a guy that can move around the versatility on the back end is going to be something that offenses are going to have to deal with because the personnel groups are going to change and there's going to be a combination of different players on the field just in the back end, let alone the front.
Well, that's a great setup for what Bruce Arians said earlier this week about what an offense might face in the challenge.
That's what it's all about, not knowing who's always coming. It's not always Ty that's coming. So, yeah, the more guys you can put out there that can cover, can blitz, can play the run, the better defense.
Yeah, think about Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, he might be in the slot in coverage. You know, he might be coming off the edge in a blitz. You know, he might be maybe in some sort of you know, capacity in zone in the flat with run support. He might be in the deep free safety. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so many different responsibilities and roles for a Tyrann Mathieu. And then that trickles down through the rest of the defense. I mean, they have those speed packages they put in with six and sometimes seven DBs.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to imagine it's a lot to prepare for if you're a Cardinals opponent.
What's really interesting about the speed package as well, that isn't a personnel group where they have six to seven DBs, Paulie. It's not a personnel group as much as it's a concept. which I love their speed package, which means there's a lot of different people that are going to be interchangeable.
So you're saying
that speed package.
A scheme within the scheme.
It is a scheme. It is not really a personnel group when they call it a speed package that they run onto the field. It is a concept.
Okay, so if the big question on offense is number two receiver and whether John Brown is truly the guy and whether he's healthy is the big question on defense right now, still, who's the number two corner? And if it's Justin Bethel, to what degree do you think the coaches now believe they can count on number 28?
Yeah, you know, he's really picked it up here over the last 10 days, I would say. Just listening to Bruce Arians and talking to some of the coaches down on the field as well, Paulie, they're really ranting a little bit about Justin Bethel. He has done a great job, but to me, it's always going to come down to what he does when the Silks are on. What do you do in the preseason games? I believe Justin Bethel is going to be your starting corner opposite of Patrick Peterson going into week one of the National Football League. I believe that, Paul. Now, what are you going to do from that point forward? That's been the problem with Justin, Paul.
To me, the problem has been his inconsistency. You know, has he flashed? Has he made plays in the past? Sure. But he's also been beaten, and there have also been mental errors, and there have also been times where he's step for step with the receiver, the ball's in the air, and he doesn't make the play. For the most part, in this training camp, and we're 4 weeks into this training camp, he's been pretty darn consistent.
Yes.
I haven't seen any glaring breakdowns out of Justin Bethel. And that's what ultimately James Betcher wants, is the ability to trust that other corner, because this is a man-cover team. He wants two cover corners he can put on an island.
And also, Paulie, try to remember, you don't need an all-pro opposite of Patrick Peterson. You don't. What you need is a pro opposite of Patrick Peterson. It's one of the reasons why Steve Keim went out and got Tremont Williams to bring him in. The guy is a grizzled veteran, 34 years old. He's been around, but he's a pro. This isn't his first rodeo. He's not going to fall to pieces when somebody targets him 12 times in a game because Patrick's on the other side locking down the other team's best receivers. So the Cardinals need to find a pro. Whether that's Justin Bethel or not remains to be seen.
And the other side of this timeout, Budda Baker will visit with a second-round rookie. What does he say about all these Tyrann Mathieu comparisons? And what did Tyrann Mathieu say about Budda Baker? That is next on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. Three-step drop fires to the right side. Has a man. No, he doesn't, because Budda Baker steps in front and makes the play, knocking the ball away. What closing speed by the second-round rookie.
This is what we've seen thus far all camp long. We've praised Budda Baker because he's been making plays like this all throughout camp, and you're seeing it start to manifest in the games. You cannot help but be impressed by the young man who continues to make a name for himself early in camp.
Well, if Football Wolf is about making plays, how about making way for a second-round rookie whose name keeps getting called? I mean, from day one of camp through the two preseason games. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley. And Wolf, what's that old saying in the locker room? The more you like a guy, the more verbal shots he takes, right?
No doubt about it. Yeah, you like a guy, you rip him. You don't like him, you never say a word to him.
I mean, my Q rating must be through the roof. That's all I'm going to take from that over there. You know, I mean, the more nicknames a guy has,
that's right,
the more you like him, I presume.
You're right.
Which brings us to the guy who goes by a nickname, and he has a new nickname as well. Budda Baker, welcome into the Big Red Rage.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
All right, so your latest nickname, okay, before we get to the one that might be on your birth certificate, all right, the latest nickname is Fishbait.
Yeah.
And see, Wolf and I have a theory, right? And it goes something like this. When coach really likes you, he's going to make sure you're grounded. So he had to come up with something because you were pretty precocious, right?
Yeah.
You're having a pretty good camp at a pretty quick pace.
Mm-hmm.
But is it legit, the whole fish bake thing? First of all, what does it mean?
Man, that was just, first couple of practices. I bid on some run fakes, some play action passes. So while I'm running for the run, you know, the quarterback's dropping back for a pass. So he called me fish bait. So
I see.
Meaning that I'm reeling in things when I should be, you know, back.
Booty, is this something you feel like you've got to work on? Is it something, because obviously you play safety, right? And I know that a lot of times you're in the slot as well, but is this something you feel like you really got to work on, keeping your eyes out of the backfield?
In the beginning, I was just trying to run, get down on a run and all that type of stuff, especially when we first put pads on. But, you know, as the days got older, you know, I know now, and play action and all that type of stuff. So
But when people talk about you're able to play with instincts, that's part of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. But then again, it's instincts is also, you know, your football knowledge, the way you watch a film and all that type of stuff. So just little things that you know maybe the lineman might be doing that will give you a head start.
I know you know this, Buddha, but there's a lot of people who look at you and they say, my goodness, that looks like Tyrann Mathieu playing football out there. Your size, of course, the instincts that you display out there, your ability to walk up over a wide receiver in the slot and place a press man from that position, place a man off, right? There's a lot of similarities between you and Tyrann Mathieu. Do you like the comparison?
Yeah, it's cool, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm Buddha Baker. I'm my own type of person. Tyrann's Tyrann. He's made all these accolades and all that type of stuff. So Tyrann's Tyrann, and I'm Buddha. So I'm just a new guy on the block.
You know, last week, Tyrann fielded that question yet again. All right. I mean, you know, you need more than two hands at this point to count how many times he's fielded that question. He shut it down. And you know what he said? I don't know if you heard his quote,
but he said,
you know what? Stop comparing him to me. In a year, you'll be comparing other people to Buddha Baker.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big compliment.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge compliment, especially, you know, hearing it from one of the best safeties in the league. But then again, you know, I'm just trying to take it day by day and stay grounded and just learn from, you know, all the veterans right now.
And right now as well, Buddha, on that note, you're doing an awful lot of the things that the Arizona Cardinals asked Tyrann Mathieu to do, meaning you're playing off the ball, of course. You're playing down in the box as a safety. You're playing in center field as well. You're playing in the slot.
Yep.
These are all things that Tyrann does, right? How is it going for you so far in training camp?
Oh, it's going great. Always try to think of it as a take it day by day and try to get better, you know, day by day. And, you know, that's what I've been trying to do. And, you know, the playbook is finally over. So now it's just a matter of me, you know, knowing all the type of plays. And now it's just play football.
I mean, how many different coverages, and we're on with second-round rookie Buddha Baker on the Big Red Rage, between the slot corner and the safety spot, how many different coverages have you had to learn?
There's a variety, but then again, it's football. You're either playing man, you're playing zone, or you're playing, you know, another type of technique. But at the end of the day, it's football. So the coaches helped me a lot, you know, learning all the plays and all that type of stuff, simplifying it, you know, down for me. So I'm just excited.
So, Buddha, if you had your druthers, okay, do you know what that means, by the way, druthers?
Druthers?
If you had your druthers, if you had your pick, man in the slot, roll off the slot on a blitz, safety in the middle of the field, or maybe a safety blitz coming from the box with a little depth, what do you want to do?
For me, it depends on the situation.
That's a good one, Buddha.
If it's third and short, then I'm definitely going to choose blitzing as a nickel off the edge. You know, if it's third and long and the offense needs a play, I'm definitely going to either say man in the slot or, you know, post player safety. So just whatever play the offense I feel like is going to do, that's what I would want to do.
Do you consider yourself to be a playmaker?
I'll consider myself to be a playmaker. Just going off of college, making plays, but this is a whole new league now. Mm-hmm. So just trying to take it day by day and make plays and practice in preseason games right now.
How similar is your role with the Cardinals to what you did in college, both the role and the responsibilities?
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar. In college and base package, I was, you know, the safety. And then when we went to nickel and all that type of stuff, I would play nickel. So that's the same thing, you know, that's going on here. So it's, you know, very similar.
You know, I played 10 years in the National Football League, so I'm going to go a little metaphysical on you.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, just I'm going to go a little metaphysical. Just I want to be up front.
These are Wolf's brothers
right here. Is football a game to you, or is it something else?
Football is everything, you know. I love football. So much passion for the game. There's no other thing I would rather be doing right now. With me, I love the grind. I love getting better each day, so you know, this camp, it's a real-life grind. So I love doing this each day and just getting excited to, you know, for the season.
So here you are in the dog days of camp.
Yeah.
We can safely say that.
Yeah.
What keeps you motivated?
What keeps me motivated is just, you know, the next day. So as of today, we got done with practice, got our lift in, and now we got to go to meetings and learn what we did wrong or what we did right. So just all that type of stuff.
What have you learned through two NFL preseason games? What have you learned so far about the league?
I mean, I learned, you know, there's a lot bigger guys. A lot bigger guys I'm going to be covering, whether it's bigger wide receivers or, you know, bigger tight ends. And right now it's a preseason, so they're not really throwing all the, you know, type of plays that they'll probably do in the regular season. So I'm just getting used to the way NFL offenses are.
I'm going to continue with my metaphysical line of questioning, all right?
Is it going to be multiple choice again?
Let me ask you, generally speaking, how do you know when a guy is a leader? How do you know that?
Just by the way he carries himself. That's how I always, learned at it and, listen to people. Just the way he carries himself, the way he practices, the way he's, the way he is outside the football field and all that type of stuff. So just looking at people's character and all that type of stuff, I feel like determines a leader.
Do you consider yourself to be a leader?
Right now, as of being a rookie, I would probably say I'm just learning from the leaders. I'm learning from the veterans, and, I'm learning from the type of guys that I feel like are leaders.
How about the rookie life? How many pads have you had to carry? How many times have you had to sing during dining hall? How's that gone?
I mean, I've sang a couple times, paid a couple meals. Rookie life is all right, but it's pretty rough at times, but it's okay.
Did you get right up there and sing just to get it out of the way, or did they have to drag you up there?
Oh, yeah. Hassan sang first, and then I sang the second song. So
what did you sing?
I sang If I Ever Fall in Love Again by Shay. Old school music.
Nice.
So,
all right, okay. Come on. Be honest. Who's the best? Who's the best rookie so far when it comes to singing?
Singing? I feel like a lot of guys. I feel like Chad was really good. Hassan was good. He sang Sam Cooke, Change Gonna Come.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
And then, I feel like I was pretty good too, but – all the rookies, were really good singing.
So have you had your NFL moment yet? I mean, was there a moment where, Buddha, you said to yourself, oh, my goodness, this is the National Football League?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you could say that. For me, I don't really get starstruck and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it's a blessing to be in the NFL and all that type of stuff, and I'm just ready to work.
Are you ready to disavow your hometown Seahawks?
Oh, yeah. That's the goal. Right now, you're trying to take it game by game. We play Chicago next. So, thinking about Chicago. But at the end of the day, that's the hometown. That's the teammates. A lot of the guys I know. So, that'll be fun.
How about your family? Family and friends. That might be a little tougher.
Yeah. I mean, some family members are still Seahawk fans. My close family members, they want to be Cardinal fans. So.
Good. That's good. All right.
So the defense, have you picked it up? Are you absorbing the defense? Do you feel confident? You know what's going on?
Yeah, finally, I feel like I've absorbed the defense and know what's going on and all that type of stuff. Now it's just a matter of, doing my job.
And how curious are you to find out what regular season NFL football is all about?
Yeah, I'm very curious. I'm excited for that. But then again, we have 2 or 3 more games left. So my focus is just focusing on the next preseason game.
Buddha, what do you do to relax? What do you do to get away from the game? Because that's important as well.
Yeah. For me, I'm a lazy type of person. So I just go home. Watch some TV. I'm a crime watching show type of person. I like the law and orders, the Criminal Minds, the CSI, Miami's, all that type of
video
stuff.
Video games? You're big into
that? I don't play video games
good.
At all.
Really? Good. Buddha.
Not a video game type of person.
Harumph. That's good.
Yeah.
All these young guys out there aren't all video game addicts, Wolf. That's a broad brush or something.
I thought that's
with.
What everybody did.
No. It's, come on now. If you weren't playing football, what would you be doing for a living?
If I wasn't playing football, just sport, no sports at all, or?
Correct.
Just football. Okay, I'll probably be, some type of sales maybe, or something like that.
Okay.
I feel
what
like
was your favorite subject?
My favorite subject? My favorite subject was probably science, just learning about
science,
those type of things. Just
really?
Weird science things.
Yeah. You did say other sports. Let me guess. You're one of like 80 guys in that locker room who thinks they could be an NBA player if they wanted to?
Not an NBA. I'll probably be playing soccer. I'll be, with Cristiano Ronaldo, just having a good time.
Yeah, nothing too big in terms of expectations. Yeah, just Ronaldo.
I'll be with Ronaldo.
Sure, that's good. But see, you got to have that confidence, don't you?
Yeah, of course. I was a soccer player when I was younger, so I still feel like I got little skills in me.
What is the first big purchase that you made after you signed your contract?
I made only one purchase, and I bought a car wanted.
A car. That's wow.
Good. Okay.
I'm going to check that out.
Absolutely. Yeah, Wolf might be asking for the keys to that.
Driving around
Friday
there.
Night.
Yeah. Pickup all dandy.
Yeah. That would improve Wolf's image a lot, put it that way. So, all right, Buddha. Hey, man, we appreciate the time. Wolf, are you looking forward? Come on. Regular season opener at Detroit. And here comes the dime package. And number 36 is out there as part of these sub speed packages that James Betcher is famous for.
Speed package. Buddha Baker onto the field with the Badger. Interesting.
All right. We look forward to it. Thanks for the time,
yes,
Buda.
Sir. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, there you go. Buda Baker, the second-round rookie on the Big Red Rage. Back right after this. Once again, the Cardinals show blitz. They come off the edge, and sure enough, there is Josh Bynes, a brand-new linebacker, and Robert Kamdichi combining for the tackle for loss. Third down and one. On the ground, Richard looking for room, tries to the right, slips the tackle. Then he's driven back by Kamdichi and company. The Deech and that Big Red D-line bottled up Richard.
Very, very impressive by Robert Kamdichi. Again, getting penetration, showing that he will not be blocked. If you only leave him one-on-one, bad things are going to happen.
What Robert Kamdichi has been doing in Cardinals camp, he did in that preseason game against the Raiders. There is no doubt about it. He did it against Dallas as well in the Hall of Fame game. I mean, so far, so good. Man, I just find myself trying to pump the brakes on Robert Kamdichi because he has had an outstanding camp. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and your thoughts on the new 9-0.
Just incredible to watch the maturation of this guy. It's so similar to DJ Humphries, and what we saw from DJ Humphries. Year one was a disaster, or so we thought, for DJ Humphries. And then year two, just the juxtaposition of those two things, stunning the development for DJ Humphries. I would say the exact same thing about Robert Kamdichi. We are seeing what happened to DJ Humphries all over again here in year two, right? The first year, of course, didn't go well. For Robert Kamdichi, got hurt in training camp with a high ankle sprain. That thing was bad. It hampered his development, and he just never got on track. And last year was a disaster, I think, for him personally, because he didn't get the opportunity to develop. This year, he is developing, and, man, he's doing it at a clip that is very, very impressive so far in training camp.
We heard the highlights after the game. We had a chance to visit with Robert Kamdichi on the post-game show, and I just relayed what the coaches have said about him, that they're amazed by his get-off. That's his competitive advantage, and he agreed. He said, you know, that burst, that explosion. And we've seen it in different forms, haven't we, Wolf? I mean, he has the ability to get by a guy, and he has the ability to go through a guy.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, if you're watching how these coaches are coaching Robert Kamdichi, for the most part, Paulie, they're telling him, get to the quarterback. They don't get in there and
like
say
A to B, straight
line. They don't say to him, you know what you need to do, grab here, rip the arm underneath, right, trying to teach him moves. That's when you know a guy is incredibly talented. I played for a coach. His name was Hank Kuhlman. He actually coached Walter Payton for 5 years. Mm. He said all the time, nobody told Walter Payton where to run the ball. Nobody ever said a word to him about it. They handed the ball off to him. They let him run wherever his eyes took him, wherever his instincts took him. Every great pass rusher on the edge, the same thing. You'll get a coach saying, you know what? I told him, get the quarterback. Get to the quarterback. I didn't want to get in the way and try to teach him how to move and how to do things to make a sack, because his body would already tell him how to do that. They're doing the same thing now. The defensive line coaches are doing the same thing with Robert Kamdichi. They're saying, get to the quarterback and let his natural ability take over.
On the Red Sea Report this week, it was all about you, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert, and the guys had a chance to visit with Robert Kamdichi. He learned about the person, and he shared his thoughts on a recent trip to Japan.
When I went to Japan, I got to see how they are as people. You know, they're very human. They're humanitarians, and they're very understanding, and it was a different, you know, culture for me, because I got to understand and see how they do things differently. You know, I did Tai Chi, I did Jiu-Jitsu, I did Judo. You know what I mean? Just how they, you know, focus on the self, you know, the inner core and inner cheese, and it's amazing. And, of course, the physical part, like Judo and Jiu-Jitsu, helped a lot with my hands and defense techniques that I need to use as a D-lineman. Like, it helped me better myself as a player and a person.
Very interesting.
Yes.
And how many times do you hear defensive linemen talk about that? The hands, the ability. I mean, your brother specialized in that.
Yes.
For many years, right, as an offensive lineman. I mean, these guys, you have to keep other guys off you, and the hands are paramount.
Honestly, where's Mr. Miyagi? Wax on, wax off.
Sure.
Right? But you know what, Paul? I think sometimes you can think about that way too much. And I think this is what the coaches are doing with Robert Kamdichi. Once again, they don't want to overcoach him. They don't want him thinking. They want him just playing. Get to the quarterback, Robert. Your speed-to-power ratio is freakish in the National Football League. Even in the National Football League, you are an oddity. Use your natural ability. Get to the cue.
And this guy is a thinker. I mean, all you have to do is interview him and talk to him for a few minutes. You realize highly intelligent, highly bright guy.
Yes.
I mean, very talented person, right down to the fact that he plays the saxophone. And if you believe what everyone says about him, those who have witnessed it, I mean, he plays without music. I mean, he is gifted as a saxophone player.
Boy, that makes you feel like a caveman, doesn't it?
It came up once again on the Red Sea Report.
It's some smooth stuff, man, to really, like, balance you. And playing an instrument, you know, blowing those vibrations from a saxophone is some of the best feelings you ever, you know, feel if you ever blow a saxophone. So
blowing best up plays and then go and blowing that saxophone.
That was Roy Green. But you know what? It's all football all the time during training camp. But once you get out of camp and, you know, you have to have some balance to your life. Buda Baker talked about it. You know, you got to get away from the game. And for Robert Kimdichie, the saxophone is his release.
So wait a minute, Paulie. You're telling me he can just pick up the saxophone, no music, and just sit there and play it?
I mean,
play a song.
He is a jazz musician.
In other words, the music is inside him. He can't read it? Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely.
Oh, that! Tell me that doesn't make you feel like you got this big, smooth rock in your hand right now, and you just want to chuck it at the moon and go, oh, oh.
I mean, you look at the guy, first off, the first couple of days of camp, you see Kimdichie, and you wonder, are they in pads today? Oh, they're not in pads. It just looks like he's in pads. I mean, that's how physically gifted he is. I don't know if there's anyone stronger in the weight room, if you believe the fellas in the locker room. And then he has the ability to get up there and be a jazz musician and play the saxophone with that sort of ability.
The incredible thing about the Deitch is just the fact that he's flashed in every preseason game they've played. In all the practices, he's flashed. He's been very, very consistent bringing his effort to the field, right? And yet he's doing all of this with not nearly the technique he needs to use. And that's one of the reasons why they're all over him as well. And when I say that, I'm talking about his teammates, not just his coaches. They want him to use his technique. Now, not moves trying to get to the quarterback, of course, but honoring his gap in rundown. They want him to use his hands a lot more in his technique. And yet he's still making plays, not using any technique.
He's already in a rotation getting first-team reps. Dare I say, the Cardinals don't have to worry about losing Calais Campbell, the former host of this show. Is that premature?
Not going to go that far until I see him do it in a regular season game.
Okay. We'll see him against the Bears. He's going to get at least the first quarter, if not more. They've been giving him a lot of reps in camp, in the games. They want to get him experience and get him ready for Detroit in the season opener. We'll come back. In fact, we'll talk more about this Bears game, what to watch, and more. It is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. Stand play action, faked Ellington. He's got pressure, steps up, evades the rusher, and gets the ball into the hands of Britton Golden past the 20, the 15. He's inside the 10. What a great job by Drew Stinn to evade the pass rusher, keep his eyes downfield. Stinn with a snap, looking to his left. Now it was flushed out to the right, running, pumping, throwing into the end zone. Caught! Troy Nicholas just past the goal line in traffic. He hauls it in for the Cardinals' second touchdown.
And you see Drew Stanton keeping the play going, able to use his feet to buy himself some time.
All right, 11 out of 15 for Drew Stanton, 112 yards through the air. He had the touchdown, the long of 26. He heard it to Britton Golden, the QB rating of 116.5. The stats said he had a great game. What about the eyeball test? As we say, welcome back into the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. I mean, it looked good in most every aspect, Drew Stanton, in that second quarter against the Raiders.
I would agree with that, Paulie. You know, a couple of balls that I think he would want back. There was one where he tried to throw a seam with the safety in the middle of the field. The Raider safety went up into the end zone, as a matter of fact, and got two hands on the ball. Yep. He dropped it eventually. I think that was a misguided throw by Drew Stanton. But overall, are you kidding me? I thought he operated the offense beautifully, went out and extended plays from time to time as well, and found Troy Nicholas for a beautiful touchdown pass right there, the big tight end, right? And you were thinking to yourself, my goodness, that's a dangerous throw, but Nicholas came down with a ball in the end zone. Look, I give Drew Stanton all the credit in the world because he had to be feeling some of the heat from Blaine Gabbert.
And he admitted after the game in our post-game interview. In fact, Bertrand Barry asked him about the urgency of the situation, and he said, absolutely.
Really?
He said, absolutely. And you know what? There's been cause and effect. I mean, you know, he had as many completions, 11, in that single appearance, that single quarter, as he did all of last preseason. and there were a lot of throws that were off the mark in 2016. And so, I mean, he has definitely looked sharper, no doubt.
Let me just say quickly, though, he's 7-5, a career backup. As a starter in the NFL, he's 7-5. I will take that every time, knowing that we could start a backup and have a viable chance to actually win a game.
He is the backup. There's no more debate on that. There's no more battle for the backup quarterback.
I don't think so, Paulie.
The starters are going to get about 20 snaps, pretty much akin to what we saw last week. You know, Drew Stanton will get the second quarter. Anybody in particular, as we say, special thanks to Jim Omohundro, Walt Ellis, and Cody Fincher, that you're looking at Saturday night against the Bears?
Hassan Reddick.
Hassan Reddick.
I want to watch Hassan Reddick and the maturation of Hassan Reddick and how they use him as well. Will they actually bring him up on the line of scrimmage and fire him off the edge?
All right, we'll come at you starting at 3:30 Saturday afternoon on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network. For Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. This has been Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
One, two, three, let's go!
And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
Woo! What's up, what?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.